If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And check into Facebook. Let the world know that you are here worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning at Shevis Oaks Baptist Church. Two weeks ago, as I sneezed during the message, I hope I get this out. Y'all pray for me. 2 weeks ago, as we watched as a leper approached Jesus and asked to be cleansed. Now, we learned that this was way out of the norm for lepers. We're not supposed to come to anybody. They were supposed to be completely isolated from those who were clean. When they came close in proximity to others, they were to call out or to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," to let them know that they were passing by. They were to report to the priests at the temple when they thought that they had a spot that could be leprous for instructions as how it should not spread, what they should do in general when they're in the public. We learned that this man who came to Jesus had set aside all conventional wisdom when he approached Jesus because he desired to be clean. He wanted to be made whole. We learned that that we have a condition called sin that is far more dangerous and more contagious than this leprosy. And there's only one who can cure this, and this is Jesus. The only directions we can find for a cure, Jesus has. The only person who can heal is Jesus. The only one who can restore is Jesus. But we learned that God uses man to deliver His Word, to heal man of his sin through the preaching of God's Word. But again, church, we must come to hear God's Word. If something's going on in your life, if something's just going wrong, if you can't figure out what's going on, listen, the worst thing you can do is stay away from church. God's Word has the answers to every problem we're ever going to face. It always has, and it always will. Today, I want to talk about an issue that is plaguing our city, that's plaguing our nation, and it's plaguing our world. And that topic that I want to talk about this morning is division. Now, I'm not talking about what's 2 divided by 14 divided by 2. Everybody knows that, right? What is it? 7. Yeah, that's right. What is 100 divided by 2? 50. See, y'all are good with that. We're going to talk about real division. Real division. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul writes, "Now I urge you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all say the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be united with the same understanding and the same conviction. For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers, by members of Chloe's household." See, there's always a tattletale. Somebody from Chloe's household came and told Paul what was going on. Gave him the lowdown. "That there are quarrels among you." What am I saying is this. "Each of you says, 'I am with Paul,' or 'I am with Apollos,' or 'I am with Cephas,' or 'I am with Christ.' Is Christ divided?" Y'all might want to underline that, because that right there is a message in and of itself. Is Christ divided? What is Paul who was crucified for you? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in Paul's name? I thank God that I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say you had been baptized in my name. I did, in fact, baptize the households of Stephanas as well, beyond that. I don't know if I baptized anyone else, for Christ did not send me to baptize. Listen, but what did He send him to do? But to preach the gospel, not with clever words so that the cross of Christ will not be would not be emptied of its effect. For to those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is God's power. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the understanding of the experts. Where's the philosopher? Where's the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolishness? Boy, that's pertinent in the day that we live in, isn't it? Listen to that again. Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom, the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who were called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. And God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins. Asking you to still our hearts right now. Asking you to prepare us for the message that we're about to receive. God, it's one that we desperately need to hear. I pray there won't be any distractions. There won't be any disruptions. There won't be any walking around. There won't be any talking. There won't be any sleeping. God, that we'll be attentive because we've already heard, we learn, and we understand that wisdom comes through the preaching of your word. It's not that I'm wise, Lord, but it's your wisdom. It's your wise. So God, wake us and shake us. Help us to be attentive to your word this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, those of us who were here the last night of the revival, Dr. White spoke for a moment about the topic that we're preaching on this morning, about division. Church, Satan has always used this method to create chaos. He's good at it. Satan has always used this method to stir up hate. Church, Satan has always used this tactic to cause Christians to be so worked up about worldly events that we are no heavenly use to him. We get so worked up over issues Satan has caused that we forget what it is that we are called by God to be doing. Now, we don't have to look hard in the New Testament to see that God has called us to be flaming evangelists for him. We are to be walking, talking billboards for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, telling everybody what it is that changed our life. Listen, I've never tried to hide the fact I never went to church. I never went to Sunday school. I didn't care about going to church or Sunday school. God came to me and he changed my life through his son, Jesus Christ. I never went to church. Never did I go to church. God changed me for a reason. He didn't change me to sit down and sit still and be quiet. He didn't change me to walk alongside of this world. He changed me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes, to shake my fist at this world and to point the world towards Jesus. That is our purpose. Well, Brother Kyle, God didn't call me to preach. Yes, he did. If you're saved, you're a part of what's called the priesthood of all believers. You are to testify to the world what Jesus has done, how he's changed your life. I couldn't have changed me. Listen, I didn't want to change. I liked being me. Jesus changed me. Listen, if any man be in Christ, behold, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away and all things have become new. You want to become a new creation. You want to become a better creation for him. You stop serving yourself and you start serving the Lord. Amen? But something happens along the way. Listen, you might have had the greatest intentions. When you walked the aisle and you gave your life to Jesus, you might have come down here in tears. You might have come down here praying, God, listen, I want to do everything I can for you. I want to serve you, God. But along life's path, Satan has done everything he can to interrupt you. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian, and that's never happened to you, you're not a Christian. If Satan has never tried to interrupt your life, never tried to cause you to do things that you know you shouldn't be doing, something's wrong there. Well, Brother Kyle, I'm perfect. I live that. No. Listen, if you're not a threat to Satan, you're not a part of God's family. The enemy attacks those who are a part of God's family, and that's should be you. So what his plan is to divide you, to divide us, to divide the city, to divide the state, to divide the nation. Always have us at each other's throats, because when we're at each other's throats, we're not doing what God's called us to do, right? Right? We're doing what the world wants us to do. And listen, listen to me, church. Satan is laughing his head off, saying, look how simple-minded these Christians are, how easy manipulated they are to stray from what I have called them, you know, what God has called them to do. Look how easily they're manipulated and how easily they're angered. Church, Satan has always used this method to create chaos. Satan has always used this method to stir up hate. Church, Satan has always used this tactic to cause Christians to be worked up over worldly events that are no heavenly use to God. Church, we get so worked up over issues Satan has caused that we forget what it is that God has called us all to be doing. All of us should be pointing people to Jesus. Well, let's just look at what people are all worked up about today. You ready? My favorite is this. I put my favorite first. It seems that everyone these days is getting their feelings hurt. Everybody's getting their feelings hurt, aren't they? One of the things my parents used to tell me when I'd come home and I'd say, Kurt wouldn't let me play for you. You know what my dad would tell me? He'd say, don't wear your feelings on your sleeves. Shoulder, sleeves, whatever. And then he'd say, man up, right? Isn't that what your parents told you? Everybody seems so, my feelings got hurt. I'm just going to be honest here. My feelings have been getting hurt since I was a young child. When I didn't get my way, my feelings got hurt. Just ask Amy. When I don't get my way, my feelings get hurt, don't they, honey? I pout. Sometimes I walk around, Bob, I do like this. I go, I'll do like this. What's happened, brother? My feelings get hurt. Now, we have become a nation of sissies and wimps. We really have. Oh, my feelings are hurt. Don't you want to look at them and just say, shut up. Shut up. You hurt my feelings. Church, all we have to do is read the Bible and understand that since the very beginning of time, all the way back in Genesis, people didn't always get along. They didn't. Satan knows this and is using his tactics to destroy us today. And he's doing a very good job. Let me just tell you what's working. Okay? I'm just going to touch on a couple. I know there was a similar message about 5-6 weeks ago, but I'm not going to touch. We need to hear this again, because evidently last time I preached something similar, it didn't work. Miss Dorcas said they didn't listen. They don't listen. Let me tell you what's going on. You ready? We're seeing an unbelievable division taking place. Y'all pay attention. Put your phones down. Put your coloring books down. We're seeing division in sports, of all places. Do you know why I love sports? But because I have to deal with all sorts of distractions throughout the week. I have to listen to people talk and complain and gripe and moan sometimes. I have to do all this. When I sit down in my recliner, listen, my recliner, most of y'all would not even look, y'all would think my recliner is nasty. It's one of those, it's a man's recliner. You hear me? It would not fit the decor in your living room. My recliner, Brother Bob, it's kind of like a suede material. All around it is green. And right there, between my legs, at the front of the chair, there's a big hole like that right there in the material. Don't you throw my recliner away. You hear me? It's in the man cave. And I sit down in my recliner, and I get the remote control. Now, Amy has the remote control down. I bought her TV in her room. It's her TV. But listen, I sit down, and she comes up and watches TV. She has part of the man cave. It's her cave. But I sit down, and I turn the sports on because I can watch the sports. Right? And you know what my mind, hit that ball, catch that ball, run that ball. I don't have to think about politics or this and that and the other. Watch the game. It's always been great to just sit back and not have to think about anything about the two teams that are playing in front of you, right? Satan said, "Hey boys, let's change the tactics here a little bit." Now we're in every aspect of people's lives, but it seems one. So let's cause some division in sports. The one thing that man had that their wives would let them participate in is watching sports, and Satan has destroyed that too. Everyone is so worked up about taking a knee or not taking a knee during the national anthem. If I did a poll in here this morning, which I'm not going to, we'd get varying opinions. We'd have people who were for it and for it against it. My personal opinion is worth absolutely nothing, is that players should not take a knee. If you read the comments under the thousands of articles that have been written, people are going crazy on both ends of the issue. And I mean crazy. They're going crazy. And they will not see other people's thoughts as productive. They won't see it. It doesn't matter who you are, they're not going to change their minds. The players are now saying, this is not about disrespecting the national anthem or the soldiers. It's about standing for social injustices. And I'm all about standing for social injustices. I really am. I believe it's our constitutional right to be able to stand up for social injustices. Amen? I really do. But understand this. They will not understand that the time that they picked the time, and the time that they choose to protest is during the time when the flag and soldiers are honored, and this, in my eyes, is disrespectful. They chose that time when they were going to protest. Nobody said, okay, that's when you have to protest. They chose that time. Y'all with me? Now listen, Church Satan is behind this division, laughing his head off, knowing the damage he's causing. He loves it. He loves this. Now, what do we do? What do you do? Brother Kyle, what do we do? This was an easy decision for me. I just turned it off. I turned off the NFL. And listen, you know what I do? You know what I do? Kenny, you know what I do now? I take a nap with my wife on Sunday afternoon. Thank you, brother. Listen to me. Y'all say that with me. I cannot fix this problem. Did everybody say it? That's right. I cannot fix this problem. But I can definitely make sure that it does not ruin my witness for the Lord. I can't fix it. If I could, I would love to sit down with some players and with the president and with different other assets, and sit down and say, look, you know, guys, listen, Satan's trying to distract us from what we're really trying to do. I think I could get them to listen to me for about 2 or 3 minutes. But they won't listen. People, I can't fix it. But I can fix me. Do you hear me? I can fix me. And so what I've done with all these teams that are rebelling and protesting, because I don't turn the TV on to watch a protest. I don't do that. I want to watch games. And listen, if it happens in college football, I'm gone from that too. I don't watch TV for protests. I don't. So what I did was this. My wife taught me how to do this. When things get on your nerves, you put it in a box and you put it on top shelf in your closet and you shut the door and you forget about it, right? So what I've done is I've put these football games in a box and I've set it right beside hunting, because I used to be a hunter. I set it right beside hunting and bass fishing. I used to love to bass. I set it right beside bass fishing and golfing. I set it right beside golfing. And there's several others that I said, right, well, why did you, they didn't protest. No, they didn't protest. But what they did was they took time away that I should have been devoting to something else. Y'all with me? You see, when I don't allocate my time well, it causes divisions in my life. In my life. But when I'm focused on the things that I should be focused on, my wife, things are a whole lot better. It's amazing. This is an unbelievable equation here. When I spend time with my wife, loving her and listening to her and just hanging out with my wife, listen, we don't ever fight. Very seldom do we ever fight. And if we fight, guess who we fight about? The children. It's their fault. That's not funny, y'all, not be knocking knuckles. It's not that hard, church. Satan is causing all this division. Look, another one. Here's another one. We have division in color. Now, I'm not going to read anything else here before I say this. If you've got a problem with color, you're not going to like heaven. Well, Brother Kyle, you say that all the time. I want you to understand that. If you have a problem with color, of any color, understand this. You are a color. And you're not going to like heaven. Because heaven is full of every single color, of every different nation. Now, This issue of color is called, listen to this word, listen, you listening? It's called racism. Racism. Now, this word racism has become so relative that it almost has no meaning anymore. We hear racism every single day. Every single day. When I was growing up, I never heard it. And I went to a fully integrated middle school, all through school. Never heard the word until, golly, every day now. But this word has become so relative that it doesn't have a meaning anymore, just about. This is what I mean. People call other people a racist for almost no reason anymore. Take, for instance, a white person sneezes and a black person does not say bless you. Achoo. Well, Tina didn't say bless you to me. Tina, you must be a racist. No, it's too late. It's too late now. Hey, listen, 7 seconds went by, Bob. I'm offended. I'm offended. Listen, she must be a racist. Or listen, here's another one. A black person opens a door for a white person, and the white person does not say thank you. Well, they must be a racist. They must be a racist. How about all the people of color can call a person who looks Hispanic, you know what they call Hispanic people? Mexicans. Y'all ought not do that. You're liable to get cut, I'm telling you. Brother Kyle, that's racist. Now, I'm just telling you. I'm right there in the mix with them. One of my best friends was Colombian, and somebody called him a Mexican. I thought it was going to be on. But that's racist. Now, can I tell you that racism is alive and well in America today, and that I, as your pastor, cannot fix this problem as a whole? I can't do it. I can't fix it. I wish I could. Can I tell you that I cannot stand the division I see in this world because of racism? Now, here is the thing I can do. Church, who is it that is causing this division? Is it the white people? Is it the black people? Because black people point at white people and white people point at black people. They don't think they're racist and they don't think they're racist, but they point the finger and saying, everybody's a racist, everybody's a racist, everybody's a racist. I can't fix that. It's stupid. It's wrong. I'm up to here with it. I'm so sick of it. Is it the Hispanics' faults because they're neither white nor black and they're just trying to cause division between whites and blacks? Or here's a better one. It must be the Russians' faults.
Because everything's the Russians' fault this day. Anything that happened, it's the Russians' fault, right? They're getting all the blame these days. No, listen to me, church. Listen to me. It is Satan who is causing all of this division. And we're letting him win. We're letting him win. You know, listen. Do you know what you ought to do when you feel like somebody has been racist to you or just been mean to you? Do this. Steve, I didn't appreciate that. You know Jesus loves you. What can they say? No, they know he doesn't. Do you know Jesus loves you? Do you know he died for you? Do you know because Jesus loves you and he died for you, I have to love you no matter what? You can slap me in the face. You can shoot me. I still have to love you. Well, what can they say? Satan wants to cause division, but God's not about division. And you know what that causes? A struggle. An unbelievable struggle. Now, we see division in our scripture today. But Brother Frank, we also see a solution. We see division, but we see a solution. I want to see the division so I can recognize that there has always been division, but at the end of the division, I want to stop, put it behind me, and focus on the solution. Don't y'all? Because there is a solution. There were all kinds of division in biblical times. Listen, Jews hated Gentiles. Read the book. Jews hated Gentiles. Jews absolutely hated Samaritans. They called them unclean what? Half-breeds. Which they were. But it's not nice to say. Anybody in here want to be characterized as a half-breed? No. Listen, that's not nice. Then came Christianity. And we have all sorts of little divisions and sects saying that you're wrong and we're right. Look at today at how many different Christian denominations we have. They are all, listen, they are all, whatever you want to call it, but you have to understand this, all these denominations are divisions. They're divisions and they're distractions in pointing people to the real Son of God, Jesus. Now, Jesus fulfilled, listen to me, Jesus fulfilled over 300 Jewish prophecies to prove to the world that he is, and he is alone, the true one and only Messiah. And we're fighting over man-made doctrinal beliefs, not scriptural practices, but doctrinal beliefs, which is causing division. Church, we need to do, all we need to do is focus on scriptural truths. Doctrine's great, and doctrine keeps us in line. But if it doesn't line up with scriptural truths, we need to set it aside. Now, well, Brother Kyle, what are those truths? Well, look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says this. Paul says, "Now I urge you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, what's he saying there? Jesus is Lord of all. He starts this off. He says, listen, Jesus is Lord of all. Now, he's going to get into the conflict and the conflict. He's going to get into it. He's not going to sidestep it. He's not going to sweep it under the rug. But he starts this statement off, Jason, first and foremost, listen, guys, I want you to understand something. Jesus is Lord of all. What that means is he is the solution to all. There's no greater solution than Jesus. But then in verses 11 and 12, he tells us not to brand ourselves with any other name but Jesus. Well, hold on a second. What do you mean? When you encounter people from day to day and they realize that you're different, they'll say, "Are you a Christian?" "Mm-hmm." "Well, where do you go to church? What denomination are you?" Oh, first thing you need to do is say this. Listen, I am a Christian first and foremost. I don't stamp myself with anything other than Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the living God. He changed my life. Don't stamp yourself with anything else. Well, hold on. I'm proud of being a Southern Baptist. Well, I'm proud of being a Southern Baptist too, but Southern Baptist Convention did not save my soul. They did not believe for me. They did not die for me. They did nothing to change me. That's right. Don't stamp yourself with anything but Jesus. But he said, he goes first. Listen, verse 13 tells us that Jesus is a uniter and not a divider. This is simple math here, church. Listen, this ought to get you excited. I'm sick of all the division. Are you not sick of the division? Is there anybody in here who is not sick of the division? Well, what do? You recognize the division is caused by Satan. I don't want any part of that. Jesus is a uniter. The closer you get to Jesus, the more united you're going to be. The closer you get in this world and you entrench yourself with this world, you're going to stay mad up. You're going to stay torn up. You're going to be, you can't stand it because you're right there in the middle of the division. So what I'm going to tell you is this. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. Well, how can I be a greater part of the solution? Be united with Jesus. Jesus is a uniter. He's not a divider. And what he's going to say every time you walk up and you try to give your two cents worth, he's going to say, listen, don't even bother. They're not going to listen to you. Just point them to Jesus. So that's what I've been doing. I've really been trying not to look at any of it at all. But I'll go to these discussion panels, and I'll say, it's going to get worse. Y'all think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. You need to read the book of Revelation. Read the first 10 chapters of the book of Revelation. It's going to get worse. This ain't nothing. Satan is, we're being saturated on a daily basis to accept things that are going to take place during the tribulation. Every single day. You know what people do? They laugh at me. I don't care. You know what I'm doing? I'm telling the truth. I can't help but tell the truth. Why? Because I'm standing with the uniter. I'm not standing with the divider. You can stand with the divider all you want. I'm not standing with him. I hope one day that we get to spit on him. To slap him. To kick him. I'm sick of the division. Then we get to verses 14 through 17. They tell us, listen, that baptism does not save us. Listen, Christian, shake yourself. Please, why do I always say what I say up there? Because it's the truth. There are people, good-hearted people, who believe that baptism saves them, and no, it does not. Baptism does not save you. All it does is you are saying to the world what God has already done inside of you. So Paul deals with the whole issue of baptism. Baptism does not save you. That only through the preaching of the Word of God and the acceptance of His Son, Jesus Christ, can any person be saved. Paul says the only righteous work I have ever done is to preach the gospel of Christ. Not on my own words. These aren't my words, but the words of Christ. Even Paul, the great apostle, who was saved on the road to Damascus as he was going persecuting Christians, killing them because he was a Sanhedrin. He was a Jew among Jews, and he thought he was right. And God says, hold on a second. I'm going to change you. I'm going to bring you to my side. And he did. And this unbelievable Sanhedrin now is saying, listen, only through the word of preaching, not my words, but the preaching of Jesus Christ can a person be saved. Now, what's the final resolution to this division? Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? Well, how did he do that? How did God make the world's wisdom foolish? You think about even the apostles that followed Jesus the last week before he died. And they didn't truly believe that Jesus was going to die. They didn't. And once he was dead, even though he had told them on several occasions, I think it's recorded 4 times in the book of John, he had told them, listen, I'm going to be taken, I'm going to be tried, I'm going to be killed. But on the third day, I'm coming out of that grave. I'm coming up. I'm coming out through the power of God. I'm coming up out of that grave. They still didn't believe it. Thomas looked at him and said, you know, after he came out, he said, look, I'm not going to believe until I put my hands in the scars of his hands and put my hand in his side. I'm just not going to believe. And there's those who are still that same way today. But Paul's saying, listen, only through the preaching of the Word of God can man be saved. Church, God saves man today through the foolishness of preaching the cross, seen in verse 21. Now, verse 22 through 25 tells us something else that we need to understand. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 says this, "For the Jews ask for signs." We saw that all through the New Testament. They would come to Jesus time and time. It didn't matter what he had done in times past. Listen, he had raised a man who had been dead in the grave 4 days in the grave, which means his spirit, the spirit was gone, according to Jewish tradition. Right? But yet they still came and said, look, we want to see a sign from you. Just do one more thing. Paul says, "For the Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks seek for wisdom. Give us more wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom." Now, church, understand that this is what we need to understand, and this is where our focus needs to be. There is no power which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. Now, this is foolishness to the world. You go out there, go down to River Street today and start talking to people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You're going to get laughed at. People are going to be pointing the fingers at you. They're going to call the police on you. You're hurting my feelings. Causing division. But the only thing that can save us, the only thing that can unite us is the great uniter. Church, the desire of Satan has always been and always will be to create division in this world. My choice as a Christian, as a child of God, is to love all people and to point them to the cross as only way to heaven. Now, how do you know this, Brother Kyle? Because I was once a liar, a cheat, a thief. I was a drunk. I was a whoremonger. And Jesus saved me. He changed me. He changed me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. I could not be the person that I am without Jesus saving my soul. Never went to church. Church, will you focus on and accept Jesus as your Savior and be released from the division Satan is causing in this world? That's the only way you can be released from this division. Do you enjoy the division so much? Listen, the only way you're going to be released from it is to accept the love that Jesus has always given to you. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are and what you've done in each one of our lives, Lord. Your word says, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I also in your midst." So, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would move amongst this congregation. You would help us to see ourselves as you see us. And you'd bring us down to this altar to seek you in all things that we do. In Christ Jesus' name, I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? Do you need to come down to the altar?